Welcome back. You're watching Stockwatch with me, Gileta Televi. And tackling your questions on the line this evening are Devin Schutz from the Rabaul Group and Mia Kruger of Kruger International. If you'd like to send us questions, please SMS your question to 41392, email stockwatch@bdtv.co.za, or tweet us at BusinessDayTV using the hashtag Stockwatch. Devin, Mia, good evening to you both. Mia, if I may start with you this evening, pretty good finish for the JSE today. About 0.5%, but there seemed to be a distinct rotation from some of the stocks that did really well last week into those that didn't. So the platinum shares did pretty well, but the property stocks got sold off, the gold shares got sold off. Was it just sort of an arbitrary rotation, or what was there behind the switch?
Well, when you follow global markets and you try and find the trend in any of this, it doesn't seem like there is a lot of reasoning behind it. There's a lot of speculation around the volatility. We've seen the U.S. market, for one, close down for the last month. It's the worst performance since October last year, and we've seen increase in volatility, and that's locally the case as well. So it just seemed like the rotation out last week was a rotation in again today. And that seems to be sort of the trend worldwide. I don't think there's too much to be read into it at this stage. Mm.
Devin, of course, our market looks really sort of prosaic and dull when you compare it to what's happening on Wall Street and with the Reddit day traders that have piled in their kind of day trader army into stocks and now commodities that they feel that hedge funds have been shorting. So today's news was the silver price shooting up, I think, to what, 2013 levels, up to $30 an ounce. Have you been following this? Would you be buying silver at this stage? And do you think they're going to do to silver what they've done to the GameStop shares, for example?
Yeah, look, I mean, last week was a week that will go down in the memory banks as where the markets really felt like a video game, didn't they, with the GameStop and a number of other unloved counters really getting driven up by the Wall Street Bets traders. So yeah, they focus their attention on silver at the moment. We're seeing silver have a pretty decent rally. I mean, there's a couple of things you got to remember. One is that silver is fairly liquid, so, you know, it can be moved with a decent amount of bid energy. But two, the commodity market operates quite differently to an illiquid stock. And I think what we've got to remember is there's actual commodity producers that can sell forward some of their production at these high levels. So, you know, there is a natural potential ceiling there. And there are different and bigger players in the silver market, you could argue, than maybe in a small unloved share like GameStop. So, I think the market will ultimately determine what that kind of equilibrium price is. I think in the short term, the bids are definitely winning. But I do want to exercise that when you see these kind of short-term movements that often the price divergence from underlying fundamentals eventually does have the tendency to move back to kind of more normality. So, I would exercise extreme caution. I don't think silver at these prices is representative of what the underlying fundamentals are showing. Yeah. Yes, there are trading opportunities within it, but I would definitely exercise some caution there.
Because there is a question, actually, and the question is, should I hold onto my silver ETN? Because it is, there's a silver exchange-traded note that you can access via the JSE. Mm-hmm. Or should I sell? Mia, we were laughing before we went in air saying our only silver exposure is, you know, on our wrists or
basically
on our fingers.
That.
But what would you do? I mean, given Devin's, pointing out that the fundamentals, and particularly in commodity prices, do tend to revert to, or the prices rather tend to revert to what the supply demand dynamics would dictate. Would you cash in, or would you?
Over the short term, we've seen what happened, with GameStop. I agree with Devin. There's definitely a much bigger ceiling when it comes to commodity prices, but the thing is, it can still run a little bit. But just, you know, speculation in all terms is always a game of musical chairs. The person who's standing last is going to lose. So you just need to be selling out before the rest of the people stop buying. And that's the big key to making money when you're a speculator. And yeah, you know, it's a difficult question because you're obviously not holding it as an investment at this stage when you are looking at those sort of unreasonable market movements, really, or unsustainable market movements, if we rather call it that. So it's difficult. I mean, like I say, just don't be the last man standing.
Yes, yes. Quite tricky to call that, which is why it's a bit of a bet. Okay.
Absolutely.
So that's, that's a very interesting story. And there's lots to talk about on how this is going to play out, kind of the theory of the democratization of small players, you know, versus the embedded giants of the stock market, and some fantastic reads on the FT. And but we shall move on to locally listed shares. And there's some corporate action between Huge Group and Adapt IT. So two questions on the deal, potential deal. So the one is, Huge Group's made an offer to buy Adapt IT or part thereof. The share price is relatively cheap. Is Huge Group a buy at these levels as a medium-term punt? The other question is, it says, I'm keen to trade the corporate action that could result from Huge's potential takeover of Adapt IT. I'm not, however, sure how this takeover could actually be realized. Adapt IT's market cap is two-thirds that of Huge, so too their share price. Huge does not currently have a majority interest in Adapt IT. I'm also struggling to see where the value would lie for Adapt IT in the actual takeover. Okay, so maybe we start there. Devon, and Mia, let me start with Mia. Do you think there is value for Adapt IT in what Huge Group is offering?
Yes, when you just consider what they came out to the market with, they said they'll probably be doing a 0.9 Huge Group share per Adapt IT share transaction. So they'll basically be buying the Adapt IT shares with Huge Group shares. They probably have to issue about 130 million new shares at Huge Group to buy all the Adapt IT shares that they can get then. And they're offering about, it's I think 33% above the 30-day moving average price. So when I looked at the price this afternoon, there wasn't much movement in the Adapt IT price. It's still trading at, I think, 4.40, where the Huge Group price had come down today by 5.8%, and it's trading, I think, at 5.65. So at this stage, if you just do the math, it still has Adapt IT is still trading at a discount. So it seems like if the deal goes through, there's still some arbitrage option here. It's trading at a discount of about 23% at this stage. Just remember, as the Huge Group share price comes down, it also closes that gap in valuation.
Okay. Devon, what are your thoughts on this potential deal? Would it be good for Huge? Would it be good for Adapt IT? Do you see it going through?
Look, I think the announcement today where Huge came out and allayed concerns about their shareholder support, they've got almost 80% of their shareholders backing the deal. I think that helps. I think there's some competition approvals that still have to happen. But on the merits of the deal, whenever there's a deal this large, you know, not even looking at specifically Huge and Adapt IT, I am cautious, because I think oftentimes management teams try to oversell on the synergies and, you know, how the combined group will extract the value from those. And whereas in reality, oftentimes trying to bed down these transactions, integrate the two cultures of the business is often more problematic, more expensive, and a longer process than they would admit. So I'm a little cautious in general with these deals. If you have to look specifically at these groups, I do see the logic in the tie-up. I think that there are definitely economies of scale that can be extracted by being a larger group. I do think there are good growth prospects, but I remain cautious. I think Huge as a standalone has some merits. I think Adapt IT as a standalone, I just think together, you only kind of know post the event how good that marriage actually turns out. And I think there's probably more benefit sitting on the Adapt IT side as being acquired than Huge at this stage.
Okay. Not exactly a ringing endorsement for anything or for either company for that matter. I mean, would you buy into either company at this stage just on their own merits?
So Adapt IT being one that we like, one that we favor. So I think that's probably my pick if we had to go for it. Nothing against Huge. I think it also has certain benefits, but, you know, it is still a highly competitive industry, although there are some, you know, some of the bigger players around there. I think it is still going to remain competitive, And yeah, Adapt IT, probably the pick of the two for me.
Yeah. Mia, anything further to add there?
No, I've got nothing to add. I absolutely agree with what Devin said.
Can I just ask, if the offer is rejected and if Huge ends up walking away, do you think there's going to be a bit of a wobble in Adapt IT share price? Because it has recovered quite a lot since October.
Yeah, well, that's difficult to say. It's difficult to say. I think there could be a recovery in the Huge share price if the deal doesn't go through. It seems like it when I look at the shareholder action at this stage, and that should probably be the minority shareholders, because the majority has already indicated that they support the deal. So it's difficult to say. I mean, you can really just only speculate at this stage.
Yeah, okay. And then again, on speculation, there's a question on Aspen. It's been quite a regular question over the last couple of months since Aspen announced that it would tie up with J&J to produce vaccines, should their vaccine be successful against COVID. Could the panel discuss Aspen and how it would benefit from the Johnson & Johnson vaccine? Devin, is this just really to use their production facilities? Because as we've said, no one's going to be, or no one should be making big margins from these vaccines. It's a sort of bad PR exercise for a start. Do you think there's going to be any real financial gain to Aspen?
Yeah, look, I mean, no one wants to be labeled as price gouging against a global vaccine for a pandemic we have. So, I think it seems like a logical investment thesis to go in after these vaccine producers. I think the volumes are there. I think the margins are quite tight, highly scrutinized, and pretty regulated. So I think it's not as profitable as one would look at. That being said, Aspen's facility there in Port Elizabeth can manufacture 300 million doses a year. That is substantial for them. I think what it could do for the group is establish their reputation for high volume manufacturing going forward for future medication, vaccines, and the like. So I think long-term net, it is positive. I think the short-term boost that the vaccine rollout may provide for it will be somewhat limited.
Mia, if you were looking at Aspen as a longer-term play, I mean, because this is Stephen Sard's aim, is to, to be the sterile manufacturer of choice for bigger pharmaceutical groups. I asked him if he still has to kind of cold call them, and he said, no, not really. But do you think Aspen has kind of found what it is? Because it's been sort of, 10 years or so of kind of deals and selling things and buying other things. And do you think Aspen knows what it is now, and we then as investors know what it is and could profit from it in the longer term?
And like what it is. Yes. No, I think they seem to know what they are and where they want to go now. They've cleaned up house quite a bit. Stephen Sard is very, very vocal in saying what they want to focus on. They want to be the preferred producer of various big name medicines. And I mean, it is to the compliment to them when you have Johnson & Johnson going to the media and saying, listen, we want to speak to Aspen to produce our vaccine. So I agree with Devin that it'll definitely be a positive for the company in terms of confidence. It'll definitely show that there is confidence in them as a producer. And also they've got that plant, it's sitting there, it's ready to be used. It might as well be used for a good cause. So I don't think they'll make a lot of money from this deal, but they'll definitely, I suppose, they would be sort of cash flow positive on it due to the fact that the facility is ready to go into big production.
Yeah.
So I don't think they will lose money, but they probably won't be making a lot of money on this specific deal. But it will be very good for them in terms of confidence going forward and putting their name out there for big pharmaceutical companies to use.
Yeah. And then if you aren't interested in stocks at all, there's a question on bonds asking, is it a good time to buy SA retail bonds or perhaps wait until the interest rate increases? Mia, would that not, if there were an interest rate increase, would that not affect then the price? So you would rather want to buy now?
Yeah.
Would you?
Well, that's the whole thing. So up until quite recently, when the interest rate was much higher, it was easier for, I can actually give you a theoretical answer to this. It was easier for income funds who focus only on fixed income instruments like bonds and cash derivatives and cash instruments to make a lot of money. without taking a lot of risk. So what that means is they didn't have to buy too many bonds. They could only buy sort of cash instruments because it already yielded quite a lot and it took on much less risk. So now to get a return in South Africa, you need to go up the yield curve. So you need to take longer duration exposure, with, in other words, taking bonds that mature in a couple of years, etc. And then you can get some return because cash isn't yielding you anything. And we don't think that the interest rate will be hiked anytime soon. So that's probably going to be the case going forward, which makes it quite difficult for income funds in South Africa to give the returns that they have over the last 3 years. They were in favor quite a bit for the last 3 years. They'll really struggle to give a risk-adjusted return as they have up until now. So yes, I think if you want returns, you'll have to take some bond exposure. Yeah. But retail bonds, there's various arguments around how you should do it.
So longer-dated bonds rather than the retail bonds where the yield is lower. Okay. Devin, I can't ask you because I'm sort of running out of time, so I'd rather get your stock pick this evening and what you're picking and why.
Yeah, sure. So I'm going to go for a domestic company tonight. It's one I've spoken about before in the show, Distell, in a very tough space at the moment. Could get a little easier after our family meeting with the president. We'll wait and see. But remember, what you're buying here is an incredibly well-run local company, got a really resilient portfolio. And the environment, why it's struggling at the moment, is not a structural decline. It is being imposed on them. It is an anomaly. And my sense is that once that is ultimately removed, a lot of the competition will be a little weaker, if non-existent. And I think with them having a dominant position in some of their key market verticals, I think they stand to benefit from it. They've been paying down debt recently, so they've been doing all the right things. They haven't been having a happy time, but I think they're positioned for a recovery when the taps get turned on.
Yeah, which is hopefully soon. And also the little cannabis flutter, so a bit of an extra buzz there for the stock. Mia, how about you? What are you picking?
Yes, I'll go for Visa tonight. You know, Visa came out with their earnings results last week for the quarter, and actually, you know, they did slightly better than analysts expected. They're still expecting a growth of about 8% for this year. They have seen sort of a pullback in their earnings due to the fact that people haven't traveled much. And when you spend money across borders, that's very, very profitable for these companies. The big reason that I really still like Visa and MasterCard and why they probably are still cornerstones in most global portfolios, in the ETFs, everything, they're pretty big holdings if you track an index, is the fact that all payment systems, all these touchless and online payment systems mostly still go through either Visa, MasterCard or American Express. Yeah. And for me, that still is very attractive, and they're still trading below what they traded a year ago. So they haven't run as hard as the market.
Yeah. Well, I personally am going to combine both your stock picks this evening by buying a case of wine online, thereby satisfying both companies, hopefully. Devin, Mia, thanks very much for joining us tonight. Nice to see you both. Devin Schutte is from the Robert Group. Mia Kruger is from Kruger International. Alicia, we'll be back tomorrow evening. Good night.